Today's topic is Ayin Hara. Is it for real? I'll give you the punchline already. Yes. But I wouldn't suggest leaving right now. We want to understand what it's about. Let's take a look at source number one. In Parshat Chukat, in Sefer Bamidbar, we have two parshiot which seem to be very similar, but the response of Ribono Shel Olam is totally different in both of these cases. It's the parsha of Meimrivah and then the parasha of Hanachashim Hasrafim, right? The snakes. So let's take a look. The first one, source number one, V'lo haya mayim la'ida, v'yikalu al Moshe v'al Aharon, v'yarev ha'am im Moshe, v'yomru le'mor, v'lu gavanu b'gva acheinu l'fnei Hashem. Right, there wasn't water for the people, and they all ganged up on Moshe and Aaron, and they basically fought with Moshe and Aaron, and they said, wouldn't it have been better if we died with our brothers, l'fnei Hashem? V'lama haveitem et kahal Hashem el hamidbar hazeh lamut sham anachnu uvi'irenu. Why did you bring us, the whole congregation, to this desert to die here? We and all that we have, all our possessions, all our cattle, all everything that we have with us. V'lama ha'litunu mi'mitzrayim. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim for? Lahavi, it was so good there, right? Lahavi otanu el hamakom hara hazeh. This terrible place. Lo mekom zera, uteina, vegefen, verimon. There's nothing here like you said there would be. There's nothing growing, and there's no figs, and there's no grapes, and there's no pomegranates. Umayim, ayin lishtot, and there's no water to drink. Vayavo Moshe ve'Aaron mipnei hakahal el petach ol moed. Vayiplu al pneihem, vayera kvod Hashem aleihem. Moshe and Aaron came to the entrance of Ol Moed, and they fell on their faces, and they saw kvod Hashem, or the kvod Hashem appeared to them. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe leimor, kach et hamate, vahakel et haida, ata ve'Aaron achicha, v'dibartem al hasela leinehem. Okay, Moshe and Aaron, take the mateh, take the staff, get the people together, and speak to the rock. V'natan meimav, v'hotzeita lahem mayim min hasela, v'shkita et ha'ida ve'et bi'ira. There's no water. Give Klal Yisrael water. Now, this was very tough talk from Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very tough. It was not very respectful even. And it was very unpleasant. But what does Hashem say? People don't have water. Give them water. No times of HaKadosh Baruch. Let's take a look at the other parasha, the next one. The Nechashim Asrafim. Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim uv'moshe. Lama he'alitunu mi'mitzrayim. Lamut ba'midbar. Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim. V'nafshenu katza balechem haklokel. Klal Yisrael doesn't like the menu. They don't like the man. Nafshenu katza balechem haklokel. We don't like this lechem klokel. It's like lousy is probably a good word, okay? This lousy lechem, okay? We don't like it. They ain't mine. V'nafshenu katza balechem haklokel. What does Hashem do? Hashem's response? Vayishalach Hashem ba'am et anachashim asrafim, vayinashchu et ha'am, vayamot am rav mi'Yisrael. Hashem sends the fiery serpents to kill Klal Yisrael. Many Jews died. The Ta'anot of Am Yisrael in Parshat Meimrivah, if you look at the Psukim, is much more angry and much worse than the parsha that they said during Hanachashim Asrafim. The response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally the opposite. In the first parsha, Hashem says, Moshe, Klal Yisrael doesn't have water. Give them water. In the second parsha, Hashem automatically sends Nechashim Srafim, snakes, serpents, to kill Am Yisrael. What's going on here? What's the difference between these two parshiyot? In the parsha of Mei Meriva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come what's called bitrunya al briyotav. Hashem doesn't have ta'anot to Am Yisrael when they have a good claim. They said there was no water. They were right. There really was no water. And therefore, Hashem says, no water, Moshe, give them water. That's it. But in the parsha of Nechashim Asrafim, they're complaining stam. Because what did they say? They said, ki ein lechem, ve ein mayim, ve nafshenu katza, ba lechem akloke. Wait a second, you just said there's no lechem. Ah, there is lechem, but you don't like the lechem. So what are you saying, ein lechem? Ein lechem. V'nafshenu katza b'lechem aklokel. There is lechem, you just don't like it. Now how can that be? The man, we all learned, right? We all know. The man was lechem abirim. It was the bread of malachim. It was the bread of angels. It was the food that angels eat. Whatever that means. Okay? But it was a really amazing food. It had the tam of any tam you wanted. You wanted Ben and Jerry's, it was Ben and Jerry's. Whatever you wanted, that's what it was. Filet mignon was filet mignon. Not together. But whatever you wanted. Whatever time you wanted, that's what it had. What was the problem with the man? You know what the problem with the man was? When we eat, this is this Derech Agav, it's not part of the Shia, but it's important to know. When we eat, we usually don't like to think about what we eat. We concentrate. In order to get the time of Ben and Jerry's, you had to concentrate. You had to think. It was difficult. You had to be on a real spiritual level of thinking of what you were doing. That's not easy. Usually we don't like to do that. We like to eat and it comes naturally. We just like to enjoy it. We don't like to have to invest our own psyche in getting out the taste. So those who worked hard, who were really on a high spiritual level, who were able to invest their spirituality into the food, got any time that they wanted. Those that were at a lower level, that weren't able to do that, for them it was really very tasteless food. It was lechem klokel. So they complained, they don't like the taste. You know, this doesn't taste like anything. Maybe it nourishes us, but it doesn't taste good. So they say, ein lechem. Ein lechem v'nafshenu katza b'lechem klokel. The Ralbag points out this difference. And he says that is the difference. Klal Yisrael complained stam. They complained without a good reason. They complained as if there was no lechem, but there was lechem. They just didn't like it. So Hashem says, okay, Nechashim Srafim. Hashem sends the Nechashim. Why Nechashim? Source number 3. Says Rashi, Yavo Nachash, Shekol Haminin Nitamin Lo Tam Echad. The Nachash, when he burrows through the sand and he takes out his food that's mixed up with the sand, he doesn't taste anything. All he tastes is sand. Everything that he eats tastes like dirt. So that's why the Nachash, Shekol haminin, that anything that he eats has the same ta'am, has the same taste, which is the ta'am of afar, the ta'am of dirt, the param kfuyei tova, and he should take payment from kfuyei tova, these ingrates, shedavar echad, Mishtane lehem lekama ta'amim. The man was one thing, but it had a myriad of tastes. It had almost an infinite amount of tastes. It could taste like anything. Anything you wanted, it could taste like. The nachash is going to exact payment from kfuyei tova. Kfuyei tova. The midah of the nachash is the midah of kfiyut tova. Kfiyut tova we translate as being an ingrate, ingratitude, if there is such a word. The lack of gratitude. What does that mean? Let's explain it by the opposite. The opposite we're familiar with. Hakarat hatov. Right? Hakarat hatov means, literally, to recognize good. To recognize good when I see it. I see something, this is good, I recognize it, and therefore, I give thanks to He who gave me that good. It could be another person, it could be even an inanimate object sometimes, but surely, b'sofo shel davar, to ribono shel olam, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hakarat HaTov Tasha. Hakarat HaTov literally means to see good and to notice good, to recognize good, and then be thankful for that good. That's Hakarat HaTov. But first and foremost is, before you can give thanks, you have to notice and realize this is good. This is Tov. Kfiyut Tova is exactly the opposite. I see something and it is good, but I deny the fact that it is good. That's Kfiyut Tova. I see something, it's really good, but I deny the fact that it's good. And therefore, I don't have any gratitude at all, obviously. I can't have gratitude if I don't think it's good. What did the nachash, the first nachash, is the symbol in all of Tanakh of Kfiyut Tova? Let's take a look. In Bereishit, these psukim are familiar with us. V'hanachash haya arum mikol chayat hasadeh. The nachash was the most wily of all the animals in the sadeh. Asher asa Hashem Elokim. Vayomer el Aisha, af ki amar Elokim lo tochlu mikol eitz hagan. Isn't it true that God said that you can't eat from any of the atzei hagan? Vatomer haisha el nachash. No, that's not true. Actually, mipri eitz hagan nochal. Right? We actually, nochel. We actually are allowed to eat from the pre eitz hagan. But there is one tree that we can't. Umipri ha'etz asher betol chagan, amar lukim lo tochlu mimenu v'lo tigubo pen tamutu. But the eitz hadat, there is one tree that Hashem said we can't eat. Now what did the Nachash say? Isn't it true that you can't eat from any of the atzei hagan? Now when we contrast what Hashem really said to the way he was quoted or misquoted by the Nachash, it's really very stark difference. Take a look at the next two psukim. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, this is actually in the previous perek, in perek bet, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, al ha'adam leimor, mikol eitz hagan, achol tochel. Achol tochel, a double lashon. Achol tochel. Eat. Eat, like a Jewish mother. Eat, ask mankin, no go, you can eat everything. Mikol eitz hagan, achol tochel. It's all out there for you. It's all available. The shetach of heter is vast, it's tremendous, it's gigantic. Everything is mutar. The whole gan is mutar. But, umi eitz hadat hovara lo tochal men. There is one eitz that you can't eat. There is one eitz. So what did the Nachash do? The Nachash said, isn't it true that you can't eat from any of the atzei hagan? Now one thing we have to realize, the Nachash was not a liar. Okay? The Nachash is a symbol of
The Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, in order to get, for him to get us to do what he wants, doesn't have to lie. He can bend the truth a little bit, use our imagination a little bit, but the truth is dangerous enough if it's bent a little bit. Okay? He doesn't have to lie. He did not lie. So what happened? How is it possible that he said, isn't it true that Hashem said, you can't eat from any of the Atzei Agan? In the mind, in the psyche of the Nachash, that was 100% emet. Because if there was one thing in the entire world that he could not have, if there was one thing bad in the entire world, as far as the Nachash was concerned, the entire world is bad. One thing is enough for this Nachash. Why? Because that's all he sees. He sees only the ra. He sees only the chaser. He sees only what he can't partake of. And for him, that's all that's out there in front of his eyes. He can't see anything else. That's all he's got. And for him, it's all awesome. Sometimes you see, and with people that are not observant, Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, and they look upon Shmirat Torah Mitzvot as being something, wow, you guys can't do anything. Right? It's all awesome. There's nothing mutter. You can't do anything. When someone who lives a Torah life knows that there's so much heter, right? There's so much out there of joy, and the world is there for enjoyment. There is some elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said don't do. But the shetach of heter is gigantic. The Nachash sees only what isn't. He doesn't see what is. This is what we call selective sight. Ri'ya l'mechtza. To see only part of what is. Selective vision, if you will. This selective vision the Nachash had, and we see this midah also in Bil'am HaRasha. And here we're getting already to the topic. Take a look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Source number 5. Kol mi sheyesh shlosha dvarim halalu hu mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. Right? Whoever has these three midot, he's the student of Avraham Avinu. V'shlosha dvarim acherim hu mitalmidav shel Bil'am HaRasha. And the three other things is a student of Bil'am HaRasha. Ayin tova v'ruach nemucha v'nefesh shfala talmidav shel Avraham Avinu. We'll have to translate Ayin Tova. Ruach Nemucha, lowly spirit, and Nefesh Shvala also needs explanation, but it's not really in our misgeret. Talmidav Shel Avraham Avinu. Ayin Ra'a, V'ruach Gvoha, haughty spirit, V'nefesh Rechava, and a wide Nefesh, Talmidav Shel Bil'am HaRasha. Continues the Mishnah to say, okay, so what's the difference between the students of Avraham Avinu and the students of Bil'am HaRasha? Ma ben Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu Talmidav shel Bil'am HaRasha. What's the difference between them? Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu ochlin ba'olam hazeh v'nochalin ha'olam haba. Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, they partake in this world and they also inherit the next world. Shne'amar lahanchil ohava yesh v'otzrotehem amalei. Aval Talmidav shel Bil'am HaRasha yorshin gehinom v'yordin lebe'er shachat. But the students of Bil'am HaRasha, they go to Gehenim. And they get be'er shachat. Shne'emar v'ata elokim torideim lebe'er shachat anshei damim u'mirma lo yechetsu yimehem. They're not even going to live out half their lives. This Mishnah talks about the midah of Ayin Ra'ah. Ayin Ra'ah is what we said before, selective vision. He's got a bad eye. He doesn't see well. He sees partially. He doesn't see everything. He only sees what isn't. He doesn't see what is. People like this, and we know, I'm sure we know, that there are people like this. that see only the bad. They're critics. They are kvetchers. From the moment they get up in the morning till the moment they go to sleep at night, they're always finding what's wrong. Oh, there's a stain here. This picture's crooked. I don't really like the way the toast came out. It's a little too soft, a little too hard, it's a little burnt, it's a little that. Everything is a complaint. Everything, we're trying to find what isn't good. And in every single thing, they'll point out and notice what isn't good, what isn't right, what isn't perfect. People who live their lives like that are miserable. And they make the people around them miserable. The chidush of this Mishnah is not the fact that Bilam goes to Gehenna and his Talmidim go to Gehenna. We knew that. And the chidush of this Mishnah is also not the fact that the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu go and get Olam Haba. We knew that. The chidush of this Mishnah, I think, is the Olam Hazeh. People like Bilam have no Olam Hazeh because their entire lives are miserable. They're always complaining about every single thing. Nothing's good. Everything stinks. Life is terrible. Everything is a complaint. The Talmidim of Avraham Avinu have an Ayin Tovah. Everything's beautiful. Everything's good. They have, of course they have Olam Haba, but they have an Olam Hazeh. They enjoy life. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. And that is really the Perush of Ayin Hara. But we have to see what happens. Take a look in the Perush of Rabbi Avadya Mibar Tanura, right after Source 5, the end of Source 5, he explains, Ayin Tova, Mifaresh Rabbi Avadya Mibar Tanura, Mistapek Bamesh Yeshlo, Ve'eno Chomed Mamon Achirim. He is satisfied with what he has, and he doesn't desire things that belong to others. We all know that Ayin Hara has some element of Kin'ah. Right? We're going to explain this, okay? Some element of jealousy. A person is jealous of the other person, and that causes an ayin hara. We're going to explain that. But a person who has this selective vision of ayin ra'ah, it stems from jealousy, as Rabbi Avadya Mibar Tanura says. So how does it work? The way it works is the following. I look at my neighbor, and I see that he has something that I don't. He has, I don't know, I'm just throwing out something. He has a Lexus, and I don't. And I am jealous. It's actually this week's parsha, we read about Lo Tachmod, right? I have a jealousy. So what does that mean? What am I seeing? What am I noticing? I'm not noticing what he's got. I'm noticing and focusing on what I don't have. I am noticing and focusing on the chaser. He's got it and I don't? That's terrible. I can't handle that. And I give over some element of ayin hara. Now how does that work? Let's explain. The world is full of tova. The world is full of good. As we remember from what we said about the Nachash HaKadmoni. The world is full of good. Everything that I have so much good if we think. And everybody has tzarot. We all know that. But look how much good we have. We're alive. We have children. We have grandchildren. We have relatives. We have so much good. We have so much to thank for. And what do I notice? I notice this little pain that I have in my hangnail, or I notice all kinds of little tiny things, and I can focus in on that, and that's my whole existence at that moment. I focus in on what isn't, instead of what is. And it can eat me up alive sometimes. Melo chol haaretz kvodo. The world is full of good. When I focus on the little that isn't, I make that important. That's my entire existence. That is what is important. As far as I'm concerned, that is everything. Like the Nachash, right? Everything was that one time. Everything was afar. Everything was terrible. Because that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I give chashivut to. That's what I give importance to. So that is important because that's what I focus on. And when I focus on that, I let it expand. I let it grow. I give it so much importance that it becomes everything. Is there bad in the world? Yeah. But very little. Very little. Take a look at the Gemara in Brachot. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosi, Minayin She'ein Meratzin Lo La'adam B'Shat Ka'aso. Okay, this is not that... Go to the second line. This is not so important right now. The second line towards the end. Umi ikka ritcha klape shma kame de kutcha brichu. Is there really anger in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? With towards the beginning of the third line, source 6. In, yes, Ditanya, as it says in the Brayta, ve'el zo'em b'chol yom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every single day. Ve'kama za'amo. And how long does he have anger for? Answers the Gemara, rega. For one moment, there is anger. The kama rega. And how long is a rega? Says the Gemara, echad mi chameshet ribo u'shmonat alafim u'shmonamot u'shmonim v'shmoneh b'sha'a. Okay, so it's one of 5,000, actually 50,000, I'm sorry. 8,888 parts of 1 hour. It's an infinitesimal small second, basically. And how long is that? V'zoi rega. That's a rega. V'ein kol bria yichola l'chavein otasha. The Mepharshim say, how long is a rega? A rega is the amount of time that it takes to say the word rega. That was it. Okay, that's the amount that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every single day. No more. But there was one person in the world who knew when that moment was. And he knew to be mechavein exactly to that moment. And in that moment, he would give out a klala. Who was that person? Bilam HaRasha. Ve'en kol b'riya yecholah l'chavein otasha. No one knew when that moment was. Chutz mi Bil'am HaRasha. Except for Bil'am. Dichtiv bei v'yodei adat elyon. What do you mean yodei adat elyon? He didn't even know his own donkey. How did he know dat elyon? Says the Gemara. Hashle dat be'em tolo aviyada. Dat elyon aviyada. Ela says the Gemara melamed shaya yodei l'chavein otasha shakadosh baruch hu koespa. He knew when that moment was. And then he would be mikalel. What is a klala? What is a klala? What value does a klala really have? And what is it? This is also an important concept to know. So we can understand what it is by understanding the opposite. What is a bracha? A bracha, the word bracha means to expand. Okay? It says, first time the word appears, Vayivarech otam Elokim vayomer lahem pru urvu. He said to man and woman, and he gave them a bracha. Bracha means to let that which is expand. Okay? That is a bracha. When we say a bracha, what are we doing? What are we doing? Every bracha is noticing, focusing on something that's good, realizing, and then giving a bracha. A father, some mothers do this also, give a bracha to their children Friday night, right? Yisimcha Elokim ke'efrayim yichim nasha. They give them a bracha, yivarechcha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Okay? They see their children, they see the beauty that they have, and they want it to expand. They give them a bracha to see something good and to try and let it expand because they focus in on it and they want it to grow. Klala is the exact same thing, but just the opposite. To see chaser, to see that which isn't, to see the ra, and to want that to expand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zoem b'chol yom. There is anger, there is choser, there is, yes, melocho haaretz kvodo, but there is a little bit of existence where Hashem is kivyachol not. It's a rega, it's a very small amount of time. But the one who's able to focus on that and say, ha, here he isn't. Let that isn't, let that choser, let that ra, because Hashem is tov by exist by definition, and everywhere where he isn't ki'ilu is ra. So let that expand. We want the ra to expand. That's klala. Bilam had that talent, dubious talent, to let the ra expand, to let the choser be important. And that's exactly what a person with an ayin hara does. He takes a look at that which isn't, he focuses on that which isn't, and he wants that to give that importance, he wants that to grow and to expand. He sees the ra. He sees that guy has that and I don't. He has anger, he has noticing that which that I don't have, that becomes his whole existence, that choser, that's a klala. He, with abal korcho, without any choice, he is mikalel. And that's an ayin hara. He is mikalel. Let's try, this is not nistar, by the way, this is a real psychological thing. I don't know anything about Torah to Nistar Kimat. Okay, this is real stuff. Let's just give an example. Okay, to bring it down to earth. A friend of mine who's a mechanech told me this years ago. Master mechanech of little children. He had a boy in his class, I think it was a third grade class in the elementary school, and the boy every day would come back from recess too late. He would come every single day. He had his peanut butter sandwich made. I think the way he described, his mother didn't put jelly in the sandwich, so it took him a real long time to eat the peanut butter. It was like, you know, it took him a long time. And he came late every single day from recess. And for the first few days, this teacher would really give it to him. Shmuel, you can't come late. You know, everybody's coming on time. You're coming late. This is terrible. And the more he got angry at this child, the later and later he came. It didn't do any good. It made it worse. He focused on that and it made it worse. He decided, you know, this is not working. I got to try something else. I'm not going to say a word to this child. Let him come whenever he wants. I'll wait till he gets it right and then I'll try and reinforce it. We'll call positive reinforcement. He waited, and this needs a lot of patience. Hanukkah time. Hanukkah time, this somehow, I don't know, he got jelly in his sandwich somehow. And he came on time. He ate the sandwich faster and he came on time. This teacher made such a taharam about the fact that this boy came on time. You would think that he was just Messiah Shas, right? He made a dance and he was so happy. Wow, Shmuel, you made it on time. This is great. It's fantastic. This is wonderful. He made such a taharam about it. And this mechanic said, this boy Shmuel never came late again till the end of the year. What happened? When he was focusing on what isn't, he made that important. In the mind, in his mind, in the child's mind, he was a latecomer. This is him. He was no good, as far as this thing goes. When he focused on the fact that he did it right, he gave that importance. He gave that an expansion. That's bracha. The first part is klala. He made it worse. Now this is true with all human relations. When we focus on that which is good, good comes out of it. Where makir tov, the tov expands. It becomes greater. It becomes better. When we focus on the ra, The Rabbi increases. The Ra, the Chaser, the what isn't increases. It just makes matters worse. Somebody once said there's no such thing as constructive criticism. Okay? Every criticism, I mean that's a bit of a hagzama, but you get the idea. Every criticism, especially if it's given as criticism, is mekalkel. It makes it worse. Okay, we have to move on here a little bit. Let's talk about how this fits in with Bilam a little bit. Bilam is the paradigm of Kfiyut Tova. Right? He sees, he has this Aton, who has been the Aton that he's ridden on from day one, from the time he was a child. And what does he do? He starts beating the Aton. He doesn't understand what the Aton understands. And that is considered to be Kfiyut Tova. Bilam is a Nofel Viglui Einai. Nofel, he falls down, but he's also Glui Einai. He has his eyes wide open. Take a look at Source 8, Rashi. Nofel Viglui Einai. Rashi explains that because he didn't have a mila, because of the fear of the Shekhinah, he would automatically fall on his face. Now when someone's falling on his face, what does he see? He sees only the dirt. He sees only the ground. He doesn't see the beautiful world out there. He seems to be like the Nachash. He only sees the dirt. He only sees the chaser. That's what he sees. And that's what's important to him. That's what he focuses on. And that's what is. That's his existence. Source number 9. There are 4 people in the world. Cain, Korach, Bilam. Actually, 5. Doeg, Va'achitofel. 4 besides Bilam. Right? Cain, Korach, Bilam, Doeg, Achitofel. Shenatnu einehem bamesha eino ra'ui lehem. They put their eyes on that which wasn't really coming to them. They were jealous of what others had. Ma shebikshu lo nitan lahem, that which they asked for was not given to them. Uma shebiyadam natluhu mehem, and that which they had was taken from them. These 5 people. They looked upon what others had, and they wanted it for themselves. They looked upon what others had, and they didn't. These 5 people natnu einehem. Notice. Their eyes, they looked at what others had and they didn't. They saw the chaser that they did not have. And because of that, what they asked for was taken away from them, what they didn't get, and what they had was taken away from them. Bilam, says Chazal, Source 10, was shtum ha'ayin. What does shtum ha'ayin mean? Suma ba'ayin achat. He was blind in one eye. In other words, he had selective vision. He didn't see completely well. He didn't see that which was out there. Eino nikura umutzeit lachutz. This description, whether you take it literally or not, the idea is his eye was gouged out and it was like hanging from a tendon. Okay? A little graphic. But the idea means it didn't work. One of his eyes did not work. He had half vision, selective vision. He didn't see everything. Exactly what we said. He doesn't see completely. He only sees that which is not there, that which is missing. That's what he notices. He sees the proverbial stain and the proverbial picture that's crooked. He sees that which is not perfect, that which is not good. Now, this Yesod of this klala is kfiyut tova, as we said, and that is from the Nachash HaKadmoni, the first Nachash. Now, Chazal say an amazing thing in the Gemara in Baba Kama. A person, after he dies, his spine becomes a snake. But that is only those that don't bow down at Modim. Take a look at the Gemara. Shidro shel adam la'achar sheva shanim na'aseh nachash. V'hani mili d'lo kara b'modim. But that's only if he didn't bow down at Modim. What's going on here? The idea is a person who doesn't bow down at Modim, Modim means to give thanks. He doesn't have hakarat atov. This is a person who didn't know how to give thanks. A person who didn't know how to realize and notice the good. This person is one and the same as a nachash. The nachash was a kfui tova. This person is a kfui tova. His spine, his center pin, his whole mahut, the center of his body becomes that which he is. A nachash, a kfui tova. But if he bows down at Modim, he realizes that he has to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He realizes that he was had to be makir tov. Then that doesn't happen because he has nothing to do with the nachash. And then Chazal say an amazing thing. Bilam was so much like this. Source number 12. Me'atzmotav shel Bilam nithavu nechashim. All the people that are not makir tov, their spine becomes a nachash. Bilam, though, every single bone in his body became nechashim. Me'atzmotav, all his bones, because that was every part of him, was a nachash, had this lack of hakarat hatov. Therefore, the tikkun for those that do not have hakarat hatov, what is the tikkun for those that complained in the midbar that there's no lechem? V'nafsheinu katza b'lechem aklokel, but there was lechem, they just didn't like it. What's the tikkun? The nechashim hasrafim. Nechashim are going to come and kill the people, or bite the people, injure the people. What happens? Why nechashim? Nechashim are going to come because you were kfuyei tova? Also that, right? That's what we saw before, but it's not only that. There's a tikkun. What was the tikkun? Moshe Rabbeinu goes out with the nechash hanechoshet. All those that were bitten and now had some kind of plague because of it, he goes out and he raises up a nachash hanechoshet. Notice, nachash, nechoshet, it's almost like a double nachash. Nachash hanechoshet, and the people look up, and we all know the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, it's a famous song, right? They looked up and they saw, Mistaklin klapei mala, umishavdim et libam laavim shebashamayim, vayu mitrapim. They realized, hey, you know what? The nachash isn't bad. They thought nechashim are terrible. Look, if they just bit us. The nechash also can be good. It's a matter of perspective. The nechash actually was that which brought a refuah to them. It was the antidote. The nechash is actually even good. That which we thought was bad is actually good. And then they realize they have to give hakarat hatov. Umishabdim et libam la'avim shebashamayim. And then they look up and realize that they have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for so much good that he puts in the world. Even the nachash is good. We thought the nachash was terrible. We thought the man was terrible. That's the tikkun. The tikkun is through the means of the nachash itself. Take a look. In Sefer Shmuel, there is a parsha where the king of Ammon comes to attack the people of Yavesh Gilad. And the Ammoni comes, verse 13, Vayichan al Yavesh Gilad, Vayomru kol in anshe Yavesh to this king, Krot lanu brit v'navdeka. Right? They said to him, right, he wanted to attack them, and he said, okay, make a treaty with us, and we'll serve you. Vayomru alihem ha'amoni, right? Bezot echrot lachem. Bin kol lachem ayin yamin v'samti acherpa al kol Yisrael. Gouge out your right eye. What was he telling them? You want to make a brit with me? Gouge out your right eye. I am the Ammoni. Ammon has this lack of hakarat hatov to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael didn't attack them, and now we have. He needs to have a karat hatov to Klal Yisrael, but he didn't. You want to be, make a brit with us, he says to Anshei Yavesh Gilad? Be like us. Like Shimon and Levi, right, said to Shechem, you want to be with us? You have to be like us and make a brit milah. He said the same thing. You have to be like us. Take out your right eye. We have kfiyut tovah. You have to have kfiyut tovah also. You have to gouge out your right eye. You have to have the same selective vision that I have, that my people have. And then I will make a brit with you. I blanked out the name of this Melech Amon, but many of you know it. The name of this Melech Amon was Nachash Melech Amon. Kfiyut Tova, selective vision. Nachash, Midat HaNachash. All the Chataim in Sefer Bamidbar are all dealing with Kfiyut Tova. The Mitzonanim, the Meraglim, Korach, the Nechashim Asrafim, Baal Pa'or, Bakashat Eivar HaYarden, that by God and Reuven, that they asked for Eivar HaYarden, that was also an element of Kfiyut Tova. They didn't want Eretz Yisrael. They wanted something else. They wanted what they didn't get. All came from the lack of seeing good. E Ri'iyat HaTov, which is Kfiyut Tova. Selective vision, what we call it. Now, we brought a couple of examples of those people that not knew Einehem, Bameshe, Lo Ra'ui Lahem, and what they had was taken away from them, and that which they wanted was not given to them. Let's just deal with two of them, and it's really amazing. Let's start with Cain. Now, I don't think you have to take this literally, but what Chazal here are saying here in the Zohar is amazing. How did Cain come about? Zohar, source 14. Ba ha-nachash al-chava v'holida l'Cain. The Nachash and Chava had relations, and from them was born Cain. He was the son of the Nachash and Chava. Ukishaharad Kain lehevel hayanoshech oto nishichot kenachash ad sheyatzan nishmato v'meit. And when, how did he kill him? He bit him nishichot like a Nachash. He bit him like a Nachash. And then listen to the end of the Zohar. It's really amazing. V'chol davar chozer liyisodo. And everything goes back to its source. What does that mean? Everything goes back to its source. Cain stems from a source. Why did Cain kill his brother? Because of the terrible kinah that he had, that Hevel's carbon was accepted and his carbon was not accepted. That Ayin Ra, what he got it and I didn't, that selective vision. He had so much to thank. He had half the world, for crying out loud. Half the world belonged to him, but it wasn't enough. He wanted everything. He saw half. He saw the half that he didn't have. That's what he saw. And for him, that was everything. Chol davar chozer liyisodo. He is a direct descendant, the son of the Nachash. It's amazing. Now, another one is Avshalom. Avshalom was a prince. He had everything. If Avshalom just would have waited, he clearly could have, should have, would have maybe, been the next Melech Yisrael. All he needed was a little patience. He had all the talents. He had the charisma to be the Melech on all of Klal Yisrael. But he wanted it now. He wanted what his father had. If there ever was an example of a Ben Sorer Moreh, it was Avshalom, right? He did everything possible to rebel. Horrible. Took his father's pilak shiv and whatever. He did everything. Terrible. Take a look at this gemara. Masechet Nida, number 15. Abishol Omer, Kover Neitim Hayiti. I was a gravedigger. Pam achat niftecha ma'arat achtai. One day, a ma'arat kfura, a whole burial cave, just opened up underneath me. Va'amadi begalgal eino shel meit ad chotami. And I fell into a giant eyeball of a dead person. And I was standing up to my nose in this eyeball. Kishechazarti la'achorai, when I came back to the city, Amru, they told me, Ayin shel Avshalom haita. This wasn't stam an eye. This was the eye of Avshalom. Did your mother ever tell you you have big eyes? Okay? That is what Avshalom had. He had big eyes. He had this giant eyeball. Avshalom was able to just sink into it up to his nose. He had big eyes because he was jealous. He had this vision that he wanted everything. The whole world was his. And he deserved to have it all. And he deserved to have it now. Rav Kook in Musar HaKodesh says, Avodah gedolah hi lahasir et hakas min alev legamrei. Labit al hakol ba'ayin yafa. It's a tremendously difficult avoda. It's a great avoda. To look on everything. To take the kas, the anger away from your heart completely. And to look at everything ba'ayin yafa. Bechemla she'ein lagvul. With endless compassion. Lihidamot la'ayin ha'elyona. You know why we're supposed to have ayin tova? Because we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And He has an ayin tova. The ayin elyona, the ayin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an ayin tova. Eina ila'a, eina dekula chivra. Everything is pure, everything is white, everything is beautiful in Hashem's eyes. So too, we have to have that too. If we look upon everything as being beautiful, as being wonderful, as being nice, and noticing that which is beautiful and that is which is nice, and giving praise for those, this is such an avoda, and it's not easy, but this will make our lives, and the lives of our children, and our spouses, and our grandchildren, and everyone around us, their lives beautiful and wonderful. If we notice that which is good and we give it a voice, we express it. I even gave some pointers here. Okay? To give praise. Sometimes we think, you know, I'm not going to give it just yet. I'll wait. You know, don't. Give praise right away. Get used to giving it right away. Don't hold it in. Express it right away. Immediately. Don't wait. Give it a voice. And don't be general. Be specific. Exactly what it was about. It's amazing. This simcha that a person has when he is that kind of positive person affects himself and everyone around him. This is the joy of life. When I tell my students, both my male students and my female students, the tchuna to look for, the most important tchuna to look for, when they're looking for a mate, this is it. There's a lot of things you have to look for, but this is first and foremost, the most important. Someone who has a positive outlook on life, that sees and notices the beauty in life, that sees and notices the good in everything, that doesn't have this selective vision of just noticing that which isn't. This joy of life. Because a person like this has a beautiful and joyous existence. And everyone around them has a beautiful and joyous existence also. Can I take another minute or two? Just one second. Can I do another 2 minutes? Yeah? Sorry, I went over. I apologize for the next speaker. We all say these psukim. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim. Ohev yamim lir'ot tov. Who's the one who loves life, who desires life? He loves his days. How do you do that? There's a little bit of drush here, but it's really amet. How do you do that? How do you love life? How do you love your days? Lir'ot tov. See the good. That's the way you do it. And then the next pasuk talks about lashon hara. What does that have to do with anything? What's lashon hara? Lashon hara is when I notice that, you know, my friend has so much good in him, so many wonderful things. But I dafka notice the one thing that's missing, the one thing that's no good, and I go and I express that and I say lashon hara. That's the opposite of the first pasuk. Don't do that. Nitzor lishoncha meira. See the good, see the beauty. And the Nachash, though, didn't have that. The Nachash was the master lashon hara. Misaper lashon hara. Yavo Nachash shelakal hotzaat diba v'yipara mimotziei diba. They were motziei diba. They said there's no lechem. And there was lechem. Dafka the Nachash is supposed to come. Tochelet tzadikim simcha v'tikvat rishaim toved. The hope is of tzadikim. They hope for simcha. They see simcha. They live simcha. But the hope, if you will, of the rishaim is avadon. They see avadon. The midah of the tzadikim is one of simcha. To see the good, to see the beauty, to see that which is. And that brings hakarat tov. Chol yemei ani ra'im. The person who is the ani. Eizu ashir, hasameach b'chalko. Who's the ani? Who's not sameach b'chalko? He's the ani. All his days are miserable. The tov lev. On the other hand, he who is a tov lev lives an eternal mishteh. Tov lev mishteh tamid. If we want to partake in this feast that is called life, this wonderful party that's called life, we have to live a life of simcha, a life of ayin tova, to stay away from the selective vision of ayin ra'ah and ayin hara, and that is for real. And I'm sorry that I don't leave time for questions. So we go into the next meeting. I thank you very much for listening, Kol Tov.